Hey guys, I am back, and I'm going to be reviewing a game which is kind of a game and more of a story. This is a kind of a game book, an interactive audio game book, I guess, for iOS. It's called The Game. Not Everything Is As It Seems, I believe, is the full title, and I will put a link to the game in the video description. I believe this is only for iOS, which is kind of a shame. But I'm gonna open this now. This is about 1.1 gigs because it contains a lot of recordings, and this is completely free. Now, from what I can tell, it offers like 12 or 13 hours worth of content, which I think is rather crazy, and it's free.
Skype, the game.
So yeah, let me go ahead and open this up. I've got my phone hooked up here.
The game, assistive touch menu.
That's my assistive touch, never mind that.
The game would like to send you notifications. The game notifications may don't allow
Yeah,
button.
okay, let's say.
The game, nothing is as it seems. Navigation, landmark.
Yep, the game, nothing is as it seems.
New game, button. Credits, button. Credits, button. New game, button. The game, nothing is as it seems. The game, nothing is as it. The game. The
To,
game. 3 minutes. Recently updated.
that
The game.
took me out of it. Okay.
The game. Assistive touch met. The game. New game. Button. Credits. Button.
So the access of this app isn't perfect. I should probably write to the developer and see about I improving it. But basically, I'm gonna touch the center of the screen,
New game. Button.
and I'm gonna hit new game.
New game. Close button. Web dialog. Landmark. Credits. Button.
See, let me go to the
The
top.
game. Not new game. Credit. Close. Type a unique name for your save file. Text field. Start. Dimmed. Start. Type a unique name for your save file. Insertion point at end.
So this is wanting me to create a save file. I'll just call it
C. C. C.
Yeah, C
M. J. H.
H
F. T. R. L. O. I. D. S. Go.
I'll hit go.
Go. List start. This is an audio game. A headset is essential. List end. Previous. Dimmed. Button. This is list start. The game. Not back to menu. Button. Back to
So
menu.
you got back to menu.
The game. List start. This is an audio game.
Yeah, we know it's an audio game.
Preview. Next. Button. Skip tutorial. Button. Skip. Next. Button. Next.
All right.
Previous. Start your game by listening to the Outer World Adventure. List end. List start. The game. Nothing.
Okay, the Outer World.
List start. Pre. Next. Button. Next. As you list start the game, as you progress through your outer world, your inner world is gradually unlocked and always available. List end.
Yeah, I think as you play this, you unlock something else. I don't know. This is kind of weird.
Preview. Next. Skip tutorial. Next. But next. At the end of each lists, at the end of each audio segment, you may be given a choice. Tap your preference to proceed. List end. Preview. Next. Button. Next. To fast list start. The game. List start. To fast forward. Move your finger around the outer circle that surrounds the play button. List end. Previous. Next. Button. Next.
Okay.
At the end. List start. At the end of the game, you may return to the beginning and listen to the unique audiobook you created. List end. Previous. Done. Button. Done. Access and reprogram your game source code. Access and repro your interactive audiobook adventure here.
Okay, so let me go to the top of the screen.
Back to menu. The game. Outer world. Heading level 3.
That is an unlabeled element. Like I said, I think I am going to write to the people that are making this and see if they can improve the voiceover support.
Outer world, begin. Your interactive audiobook adventure here. Inner world, heading, access and reprogram your game source code. Access and reprogram your game, access and reprogram your source code, locked. Reprogram your source code, locked. Intro. The game, back to menu,
okay,
back
I think
to
it's.
menu. Your interactive audio begin.
I think that inner game thing is locked, and to actually begin, you hit the element that just says begin.
Begin.
All right.
Begin. Back to menu.
Pause.
You have chosen to be born into the most challenging virtual reality in the universe. At this moment, your avatar body is developing. You may come and go at any time during this 9-month period as you adjust to the feeling of being in a physical form. You may ask questions from within your developing avatar, or you may come and go between here and the spirit world as you adjust to the density of the slow-moving material world known as Earth. You may also skip ahead and observe yourself playing in previous and upcoming games. However, once you are born and enter into the Earth playing field, you will gradually enter into what we refer to as the deep sleep, forgetting everything you now know. Your mission, which you have been preparing for in countless game lifetimes, is to find a way to access your true consciousness, your awakened self, while playing the Earth game. In your upcoming game, you have chosen a female avatar body. After you are born, you will not remember that your inner world programs your game experiences. For this reason, it is suggested that you practice moving your consciousness from the sensory outer world into your inner world of feeling and focus. You will be able to access transformative technologies, which will assist you in developing a higher level of intuition and emotional intelligence. Though you will not be conscious of these experiences after you are born, you will retain your cellular memory. You have chosen to play in the outer world of sensory experience. Though there are countless alternate and parallel realities, you have chosen a highly probable experience that begins when you are 17 years old, on a geology field trip with your assigned hiking partner, Matthew. Matthew is also a high school senior. He is tall and athletic, with dark hair and grayish-blue eyes. He is handsome, popular, and comes from a very wealthy family. You may now choose your perception of Matthew.
Okay, so,
Romantic interest button.
Okay,
Back to menu, but audio volume. Headings, audio ducking. Audio ducking on.
What I will recommend that you may want to do, especially if you're playing this without headphones, is turn on voiceover audio ducking so that you can hear the choices as you move around, because this wind ambience can be quite loud.
The game, not pause, romantic interest, button, just friends, button, play, play, just friends, button.
So voiceover will read the choices to you. I think I'm going to go ahead and turn this off.
Audio ducking off.
Because you should be able to hear it reasonably well through the mixer.
Romantic interest button.
So let's go with romantic.
Tap romantic interest. Tap again to confirm.
Oh, yeah.
Romantic interest. Romantic interest.
I think you tap it again.
Romantic interest.
How strange it is to be 17 and facing death. The tranquility of the desert night, with its vast array of glittering stars and the merest crescent moon, belies the imminent danger of hypothermia. There is little comfort in the fact you won't be dying alone. You barely know the boy sitting by your side. Matthew had been chosen as your hiking partner by your geology teacher, but you'd never spoken until today. It started as a weekend camping trip to Canyonlands National Park with 11 other high school seniors. You left Friday at noon, and after 3 hours on paved roads and another bumpy hour down a dirt path, your old yellow school bus rumbled into your campsite, spewing noxious black clouds of exhaust that quickly dissipated into the crystal-clear evening sky of southern Utah. By midday, the temperature is 70 degrees. The sky is clear, deep blue, and so incredibly immense. You hike through fields of coarse grass, sage and prickly pear, and along dried stream beds, gathering rock samples for your class. You both scramble up and down over rugged outcrops that look like megalithic statues, frozen waves rising and subsiding in the vastness of the high desert, an indelible reminder that this had once been an ocean floor. The trail weaves through the desert, disappearing into a jumble of cliffs and ravines, then reappearing in the massive presence of red sandstone walls, laddered with cool crevices and fissures. As you emerge from the dark interior of the canyon labyrinth and sit down just a few feet apart, Matthew takes off his sunglasses as he slumps down onto the warm red rock surface to rest. It's the first time you've seen him up close. Though it makes no sense at all, and he wouldn't admit it in a million years, when he looks at you, you feel as if you've known him forever. Matthew smiles, and not only do you suddenly realize you've been staring, you are instantly mesmerized by the fact that he has dimples, and, as if you have no will of your own, you stare a little bit longer. Blinking, you return his smile a bit awkwardly, draw in a deep breath, and look up at the sky. "It's so beautiful," you say, hoping Matthew will follow your skyward gaze, rather than watching your cheeks turn blazing red.
"Yeah, I love it here," he says warmly.
You pull your knees close to your chest. Ironically, your backpack has the initials YOLO, you only live once, displayed across the front. But something about the last few minutes is bringing that concept into question. What if people actually live more than once? And if you are somehow remembering the feeling of Matthew, can he remember you as well? After a few moments of reflecting on the fact that your day just keeps getting better and better, you open your eyes and turn your head to see Matthew smiling at you as he hands you a bottle of water.
"We need to get going,"
he says, and though you nod in agreement, it seems unnecessary to rush. Matthew points to a trail in the canyon below and says,
"That's a much nicer trail than the one we're supposed to be on. Do you want to take that one instead?"
"Sure," you say, enjoying the fact that he asked your opinion, since you wouldn't have known the difference between one trail and another. As you both descend into a deep canyon labyrinth, time seems to stand still. Surrounded by earthen walls, you can only see the vibrant sapphire sky overhead, with no indication of the sun's proximity to the horizon. Emerging from the enclosed space, a profound and hypnotic beauty appears before you, the sun falling slowly toward the horizon, washing deep oranges and fiery reds over the land. You stand staring for a moment, and then, as if awakening from a trance, you say in a slight panic, "Matthew, will we make it back on time?"
"Don't worry. I know this trail really well. We'll make it."
Matthew sounds confident, but you notice a certain urgency in his walk. Wherever the land is fairly flat, you run instead of walking. You scramble over boulder fields in your gradual ascent to the top of a high mesa, where red rock canyons rise majestically above the desert floor. Slanted rays drench blazing red rock walls with golden light, and shadows lengthen across the canyon, skating along the desert floor. The air is slightly cooler now, but doesn't breathe what is yet to come. As it grows darker, Matthew stops and says,
"Hold on a sec,"
as he digs through his pack.
"Shit, I forgot my glasses."
"I can lead. Do you have a flashlight?" you say nervously. A guilty look passes over Matthew's face.
"I don't. I was thinking this would just be a day hike. I didn't think to pack one."
"It's okay. Let's just keep going. Until this point, you felt confident that Matthew would take care of everything, and if there was an emergency, he's a really fast runner and could have made it back to camp for help. But now it's up to you to get you both back safely. Anxiety blooming in your chest and flowing into every cell of your body, you take the lead, running from one rock cairn to the next. With iron legs, you climb steep cliffs, the muscles in your thighs shaking with the effort. You try jogging through the fields, but can manage no more than a fast walk. The sky is now dark purple. The evening clouds are brushed over with shimmering gold, but there is just enough light to see the cairns up ahead. Despite exhaustion, you try to run as fast as you can from one cairn to the next. Then suddenly the horizon turns a soft sable, bringing to light three glittering stars and a new moon, dangling by an invisible thread at the edge of the horizon. In moments, the sky and land become one. It's too dark to safely go any further. Your heart is frantically rushing in your chest and roaring in your ears as a roiling, swirling feeling makes you too dizzy to walk. Sitting side by side, you and Matthew silently watch more and more stars float out of the velvety darkness. As the temperature quickly drops, you pull on your sweater. It's oversized, warm, and cozy. And though you know the warmth won't last for long, you immediately feel better. Digging through your pack, you hand Matthew half of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
"Thanks, I'm starving,"
he whispers gratefully. Within minutes, the soft evening breeze is edged with a hard chill. "How cold do you think it's going to get tonight?" you say as you empty your backpack, then fumble with different ways to fold it.
"It'll probably drop below freezing. Do you know what that means?"
You know the answer, but you're desperately hoping Matthew has something in mind a little less dramatic than death by stupidity. The leading cause of death between the ages of 14 and 24, a statistic regularly quoted to you by your father. Of course, you ignored him as he was just being your dad, but now you're beginning to realize how easy it is to become a statistic.
"We could die from hypothermia,"
says Matthew.
"Yeah?"
His voice low and apologetic. You involuntarily gasp a stuttering breath as tears silently stream down your cheeks. "Don't you think they'll look for us?" Matthew moves closer and puts his arm around you.
"I'm sure they will. They'll drive into town or wherever they can get a cell connection and call my dad. He'll fly down in his helicopter and use the searchlight. But they'll be looking at Canyon Rim, which is nowhere near here."
"Wow, your dad flies his own helicopter?" you ask lightly, hoping to change the topic.
"Yep,"
says Matthew in an exhausted tone, making it clear he doesn't particularly like his father.
"He learned to fly in Africa. I call him the Great White Hunter because he goes on safaris every year. And now we have the heads of dead animals hanging all over the walls of his study."
"Oh."
"Yeah,"
says Matthew with a slight laugh. Then he draws you closer and says,
"I'm sorry. It's my fault."
His voice guilt-ridden.
"I never should have taken you off that trail."
You know he must be as frightened as you, feeling worse even, because he feels responsible for you. "It's okay," you say, squeezing his hand. "It was my choice, too." As the night grows colder, the stars appear razor-sharp. Your body, tingling and numb, begins shaking uncontrollably as the freezing air penetrates your bones, a fierce, constant pain drawing out the little warmth left in your body. And though Matthew moves to sit behind you, wrapping his arms tightly around you, you feel yourself sinking into the blackness of the night sky, drowning in stars as numerous and cold as falling snow, your body encased in ice, eyes wide open, staring. Nothing seems to exist but infinite galaxies of light and color blooming in your mind, pulling you forward with greater and greater intensity into an empty void of nothingness.
Yeah. That's not good. All right, so,
Force yourself to stay awake. Button. Tap again to confort. Allow your essence to leave your body. Button. Play. Allow your essence to leave your body. Button.
So, I don't know what kind of story this is. This is going to be kind of interesting to find out. I'll go through maybe one or two more choices. I'm not going to keep this up for hours and hours and hours because you guys would probably get bored. But this is kind of cool. But I am of a mind because I am into all kinds of fiction. So let's choose the thing that sounds a little more fiction-ish.
Force allow your essence to leave your body. Button.
Yeah, let's do some astral projection, shall we?
Allow your essence to leave your body.
All right, so now I'm going to tap again.
Allow your essence to leave your body.
Suddenly, enveloped in darkness and with all the air squeezed out of your lungs, you travel at lightning speed down a long tube composed of dense gray light. With a whipping jolt, you find yourself sitting in a dimly lit room on a cold linoleum floor, gasping for breath. As your vision clears, various shapes gradually begin to emerge. A thin, flimsy mattress, coupled with a faded gray wool blanket, all of which are lying in a neat pile on a cheap plastic bed frame, screwed tightly into the floor. A piece of reflective metal is embedded in the wall above a small, rust-stained sink, and next to it sits a toilet with no lid. A gloomy light is cast by a single bulb in the ceiling, encased in a metal cage. High in a corner, a solitary security camera swivels slowly back and forth, systematically scanning the room. There is nothing else. No pictures, no windows, just whitewashed cement walls. After frantically pulling on the handle and beating on the door, it's obvious no one is coming to help you. You try yelling and waving your arms at the camera, and though you're certain you're being watched, no one responds as you anxiously pace back and forth like a caged animal. Finally, you give up, sit down on the decrepit little bed, cross your legs, and slowly lean back against the cold wall.
Alright,
keep your eyes open. Force yourself to stay awake. Tap again to keep. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Button. Play. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Button.
Let's go with one more choice. Sorry about that. I wasn't by the microphone.
Keep. Close your eyes and take a deep breath.
Button. Let's go with this one.
Close your eyes and take a deep breath.
You take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And vividly imagine yourself outside of this strange room. Gradually, you feel your essence pull away from your body. until you are floating close to the ceiling. From this vantage point, you see yourself sitting motionless on the bed. You float along the ceiling, and then through the wall, and further on into a brightly lit hallway, lined with doors that look just like yours. You continue on, and find yourself in a large community room. The television seems fairly new, but the couches, tables, and chairs appear to be at least 20 or 30 years old. As you drift through the open doors leading to the intensive care unit, you immediately see Matthew lying in a hospital bed, unconscious and on life support. You gently float in to see him, but quickly realize he's in a coma and unaware of your presence. Unconcerned, you float back out of the ICU and return to the community room. This time you notice a middle-aged woman with deep brown eyes and black curly hair streaked with gray, dressed in green scrubs and fluffy pink slippers. There is a deck of cards sitting on the table in front of her, and as you float closer, the woman looks directly at you. "Sit down, my dear. I'm Itzel. I've been expecting you," she says, hooking a chair with her foot and pushing it away from the table. You sit down. Without a word, Itzel shuffles the deck and spreads the cards out face down in a perfect arc on the table. "Do you know you're playing a game? Do you remember asking me to do this for you a long, long time ago, before you were even born?" Shaking your head, you say, "I don't know what you're talking about." "It's all right. Just remember, it's all a game. Now go ahead and pick three cards, one at a time."
Close button and web dialogue.
Okay, this is weird. So you're astral projecting, but people can see you?
Page 1 of 1. Close. Attunement. New source code. Web dialogue. Play. Pick a card. Button. Refuse to pick a card. Button. Tap again to confirm. Refuse to pick a card. Button.
Yeah, why do I have to pick? No.
Refuse to pick a card.
I'm not gonna do it.
Refuse to pick a card. Pick a card. Button. Refuse to pick a card. 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 Pick a play.
Do I hit play?
Play. Web dialogue. Landmark. Click. Pick. With tap. What would you do? Tap again to confirm. What? The game. Nothing. What would you do? Tap. Refuse to pick a card. Refuse to pick a card. Refuse to pick. Refuse. 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 Tap again to confirm. Tap. Refuse to pick a. Refuse. 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 Pick a card. Button.
Really? Fine.
Pick a card. Pick a card.
The heck?
Play. Pick. Refuse to pick a card. Refuse. Refuse. Refuse to pick a card. Button.
Startled back into awareness, you realize that Matthew is shaking you. Teeth chattering, his voice low and urgent, he speaks in stuttering breaths. "Amelia, our core temperatures are dropping. We have to find a way to make the most of our clothing and everything we have." Slowly you begin to process where you are and what is happening. You can no longer deny the facts. No one knows how to find you. No one will be coming to rescue you. You will either find a way to survive together, or you will die. This stark realization is accompanied by an electric jolt. Suddenly your mind is sharp, clear, and focused. A seemingly unrelated memory pops into your mind. You're 13 years old, giggling with your friends at your birthday slumber party, on the subject of the Siberian survival method. You never knew whether it was just a joke or the truth, but it's the only thing you can think of. So setting aside any feelings of embarrassment, and speaking as best you can through your own chattering teeth, you say, I think we need to be skin to skin. My sweater is huge. We can both fit into it. So you put it on, and button your shirt so my back will be against your chest, and then wrap the sweater around me.
Okay, says Matthew. First, let's put our backpacks together so we can lie on our sides. It won't be very comfortable, but it might help.
You are both so cold it is difficult to move, let alone arrange your packs in the dark, while trying to find a spot that is as level as possible. It feels as if you are diving naked into an icy pond when you take off your sweater. With completely numb fingers, you unbutton your shirt and put it on backwards. Matthew quickly puts on your sweater, unbuttons his own shirt, and with a bit of awkward fumbling in the dark, you manage to reposition yourselves so that you are skin to skin with your sweater wrapped around both of you. Had you been on your own, you would have felt the discomfort of the uneven rocky ground, lumpy backpacks, and the annoying zipper digging into your hip. But every ache and pain dissolves into the warmth of Matthew's bare chest, pressing solidly into your back, his strong arm wrapped tightly around your waist.
Are you okay?
He whispers, his voice deep but shaking from the cold. You firmly place your hand over his.
Yes,
you say, nodding slightly. Even with the needling cold pricking every part of you, you're only aware of Matthew's warm skin, his chest rhythmically rising and falling with each breath, his heart beating all the way through your body. You want to dissolve into this moment and float forever on the waves of light passing silently between you. Your body begins to feel a bit warmer, but it isn't yet midnight. With at least 6 or 7 hours left to go, you know survival is impossible. What is it about time? It's so inconsistent, badly behaved even. In the late afternoon, time had moved so quickly, zipping by when you desperately needed it to slow down. And now it's moving agonizingly slow, heavy as stone. Time seems more like an obstinate child. Whatever you want from time, and the more you want it, time will do just the opposite. Tomorrow, the sun will continue shining. The world will go on just as it does every other day, night dissolving into day and back into night, endlessly cycling, seasons irresistibly recurring. But all of it will exist without you. How is that even possible? You're only in high school. Aren't you allowed to make mistakes? How can life be so unfair? With Matthew's arm still wrapped tightly around you, his heart beating steady and slow, time dissolves into this moment. In fact, the entire world is dissolving into this moment. No one and nothing else exists, just the two of you. You gently take Matthew's hand from your waist, place it over your heart, and put your hand over his. Then suddenly the ground beneath you disappears as an electric charge pulses through your body and a blazing beam of golden white light draws you up into the sky. The world is frantically spinning, breaking apart into countless shining pieces.
What?
As if stars were being flung into the heavens. It is so beautiful you can hardly breathe. How had you missed this? Everything is vibrating. Every cell in your body, every atom on Earth, every star and galaxy, everything seen and unseen, is pulsating, singing a song as ancient as time itself. As if you contain the sun, light radiates out of your heart and from every cell in your body. Matthew feels it too and whispers, "What's happening? You feel so warm." Electricity runs through your body as you shake your head, unable to speak. Trying to make sense of what you're experiencing, you open your eyes. "Matthew," you whisper urgently, "look." Before you stands a golden-haired child, a little girl, no more than 10 years old, with radiant skin, rosy cheeks, full red lips, and vivid blue eyes. She is barefoot, wearing a simple white dress with a wreath of wildflowers in her hair. Though she carries no light and certainly isn't glowing from within, you can see her clearly, while still unable to see each other or anything else. At that moment, you and Matthew both feel warm and comfortable, as if the cold from only moments ago was nothing more than a dream. Though there is no apparent source of light, everything around you is lit by a soft, gentle glow that seems like a combination of late dusk, pre-dawn, and a full moon all rolled together as one. The child smiles sweetly and says,
"I'm Asha."
Then heading down the path, she adds,
"Come on, this way,"
as if she's about to lead you on some grand adventure. Not only does she act as if nothing unusual had occurred, she seems completely oblivious to the fact that you and Matthew are still lying together on your sides, cocooned together in your sweater. Blinking and looking around, trying to make sense of everything, you quickly unbutton the sweater, wriggle out of it, then sit up and try to get your bearings. Matthew sits up as well and pulls off the sweater and hands it back to you. Though you're not the least bit cold, you hurriedly put on the sweater rather than try to figure out a way to gracefully turn your shirt back around. Hastily, you both jump to your feet, grab your backpacks, and rush to catch up with the curious little girl. Barely able to feel your feet touching the ground, a strange tingling current flows through your body, as if you're floating, and though you're bursting with questions, nothing comes out of your mouth as you follow the girl down the trail. Finally, you find your voice. "Are you an angel?" But before the girl can answer, you say, "Are we dead?" Asha continues walking but turns her head to address you.
"I'm not an angel, and you're not dead,"
she says lightly.
"But it's not cold anymore, and it's still dark, but we can see. How's that possible?" says Matthew incredulously.
"You're both fine. You're just in another part of the program. What you might think of as a different dimension,"
says Asha, as if you know exactly what she's talking about.
"What other dimension? What program are you talking about? The geology class we're in?"
says Matthew, studying the girl intently as she turns to look at him.
"Oh my goodness,"
says Asha in a sweet, sympathetic voice.
"I'm afraid I've gotten way ahead of you. This may be difficult to understand. Actually, it's not difficult to understand. It's just that you obviously don't remember anything, and you wouldn't believe me if I told you."
She stops walking, and then surveying both of you, she adds,
"What I have to tell you might be a bit shocking, so maybe we should sit down for a moment."
"We don't have time to sit down," you say urgently. "We have to get back to our camp. People are worried about us. They're searching for us." Kindly, yet pragmatically, Matthew says,
"Whatever it is you have to tell us, maybe we could just keep walking back."
"Oh, I'm afraid you don't quite understand. Maybe it would help if you were to think of this as a parallel world, says the little girl hopefully.
You and Matthew look at her blankly. Asha thinks for a moment and says,
In this parallel world you're now in, it's warm instead of cold, right? Well, your friends and the people searching for you are in the world where it's cold,
she says, appearing rather pleased with herself.
What are you saying? Says Matthew.
I'm saying that if you went back to your campsite, no one would be able to see you. No one would know you were there.
You both stare at her in silence, trying to assimilate the gravity of your situation.
So we are dead, says Matthew quietly.
No,
says Asha, throwing her head back, laughing.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. There is no death. There never has been death. There never will be death. You will never die. Death only exists in the eyes of the beholder. Oh dear, I wasn't really planning to start there,
says Asha, sheepishly rolling her eyes.
I was thinking I would break you both in a bit more slowly to that idea. Okay, listen. What I'm about to tell you is, well, it's something that's known throughout the universe, but it's the biggest secret on Earth. It explains absolutely everything about so-called life and death, and it answers all unanswered questions and scientific anomalies. Every senseless thing, every terrible act, even the deepest sadness, all of it will make perfect sense. But first, repeat after me. Imagination is more important than knowledge. I don't mean in your heads. Say it out loud,
says Asha encouragingly. You and Matthew look curiously at each other and then back at Asha.
Imagination is more important than knowledge, you repeat perfunctorily.
Part two. No matter what I tell you, no matter how unbelievable it may seem, simply say to yourself, this is a possibility. You don't have to believe what I'm telling you. Just give the idea some breathing room. This is a possibility. Are you ready?
You nod vigorously, hoping Asha won't suddenly change her mind and decide it's time for breakfast, leaving you hanging.
Here's the big secret. Earth and everything here is a virtual reality.
Asha looks expectantly at you.
In fact, Earth was created to be the ultimate virtual reality game in the universe. We just call it the game. It's the most challenging game ever created, and it's definitely not for the faint of heart. You've spent your entire life playing this game. But in reality, Earth isn't your home. It's simply a place where everyone goes to play and have experiences that they couldn't have anywhere else in the universe. Shall we sit down now?
Says Asha, nodding. In stunned silence, you and Matthew sit down next to each other, facing Asha. Of all the things you expected to hear in that moment, the idea that you are playing a game, that anyone could think of life on planet Earth as simply a game, is the most ludicrous thing you've ever heard. It's one area where this is a possibility absolutely, positively does not apply. Not to mention the fact that something on the scale of planet Earth would be impossible, even for God. Well, maybe not for God, but why would God create a virtual reality game? Was it to keep his creation entertained?
There's no way, you say skeptically. If this was a computer program, then everything in it, every blade of grass, every raindrop, snowflake, grain of sand, every sunrise and sunset,
not to mention every human being and every event throughout history, would have to be programmed into the game.
Not only that,
says Asha unflinchingly,
every possibility on every dimension, including parallel worlds and alternate realities, and things you've never even heard of before. And not only is everything programmed, the game has been around for billions of years, and will continue for as long as people want to keep playing. Of course, there are some cultures that understand your world better than others. For instance, in India, they call life on Earth
Skype
the
now.
Maya. They see life as an illusion, which is true, but it's not the whole picture. And the Aboriginals in Australia
sorry,
call it the dream
that was my Skype.
Which is also on the right track. But very few people have ever guessed that Earth and everything happening here is a game. If you think about it, neither of you could ever have comprehended the idea of a virtual reality game if we were having this conversation 100 years ago. So an illusion or a dream would be about as close as you could get.
But how could we be playing a game without knowing it, you say?
You're born into the
back
game.
To menu.
Just before you're born, you choose your parents, your name, your date of birth, and of course your physical body, it's your avatar. You agree to forget who you are, where you came from, as well as any previous games you've played, and most importantly, the fact that you're playing a game at all. Every game you've ever played is recorded and stored in your DNA. So occasionally people do remember portions of games they've played before. And I'm only telling you this because it can be a little confusing. Most people don't have a visual memory of past games, but sometimes they have feelings that come up that can't be explained.
You have a feeling Asha is trying to tell you something, but you can't begin to imagine what she's talking about. Despite that, you decide to put logic aside and just play along. Surely this is some kind of made-up story typical of a 10-year-old. So just like any game, I could decide to play anyone I choose and be born at any time in history, you say. I mean, I could be Benjamin Franklin or Cleopatra, and then so could countless other people, right? How would that work? We can't all be the same person.
Of course you can,
says Asha, her eyes sparkling.
Think of it this way. No matter how many times you play a computer game, you never play exactly the same way, right? So every time you play, it's a new and different experience. Or think of it like a dream. Millions of people could dream they were Cleopatra or Ben Franklin, and every dream would be unique. People wouldn't be competing with each other to play the part. In the same way, each time you're born into the game, you create a new timeline. So there could be an infinite number of parallel versions of Cleopatra or Benjamin Franklin, and each version creates its own unique history, so to speak. Remember, every possibility already exists. Every time someone plays, they tap into a new version of reality that has never been played out before.
You're talking about infinite parallel realities, says Matthew, his scientific mind finally letting go of what is or is not possible. But what about Amelia and I, for instance? Is there another version of us that went back to the campsite before dark? Or a version that died?
Yes, of course. All possibilities already exist. You can't think of anything or come up with a scenario that isn't already part of the program.
So you're saying that of all the fictional books that have ever been written, or ever will be written, all the stories are actually true in some alternate or parallel reality, and the author just tapped into that reality when writing the book? Says Matthew, shaking his head doubtfully.
Asha smiles, nodding her head yes vigorously. Over and over, you Whoa. Say to yourself, this is a possibility. You don't have to believe any of it. It's just a possibility. But everything in you wants to rebel.
Yeah, okay.
The game. Back to stay and learn more. Button. Tap again to stay. Demand to be returned to your own dimension. Button. Play.
Yeah, this is really cool. I'm gonna exit out of here.
Home. FaceTime. 12:26 p.m.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah, this sounds really cool. This is right up my alley of things that I like to read about. This is fantastic. I know this has gone on for quite a while, but I hope you guys have enjoyed this. This is really cool. Okay. So I'm sorry about the Skype messages, and you may have heard the doorbell in the background, but I hope you guys have enjoyed this. If you have any questions, you can leave them, as always, in the comments. You can send me Twitter at SLANNON97. I still have a Twitter for now. Anyway, so you guys take care. You can download this game from the iTunes App Store. It is absolutely free, which is really cool. So I would go and grab it right now while you can. So, you guys take care. I look forward to any comments that you may have. Bye.